You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church, and download our free mobile app. We've got a digital Bible. All of our teachings are on there, a way for you to stay connected to a great Christian online community. So it's a great resource to keep in your pocket. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on those notifications. Don't want you to miss anything as we continue our study. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 today. Now, I know I said that we were going to finish 27 today, but I changed my mind, which I told you in the beginning of all this is going to happen sometimes, and I didn't necessarily change my mind. As I was praying on our teaching today, I wanted to break this up into two parts. So if you recall, we are in a place where Jesus has just perished on the cross. And we've been studying the crucifixion over the past few days. We broke down the crucifixion in really three steps, Jesus being placed on the cross, to put it gently. We talked about Jesus being mocked on the cross. And ultimately, yesterday, we spoke about his death on the cross and what transpired thereafter. That's how this has flowed so far. And I hope that you enjoyed the teaching on, or the mention anyway, on the historical record of a great eclipse, which could have absolutely lined up with what happened. I mean, the Gospels talk about how everything went dark, and it's pretty wild how 4,500 miles away there were accounts in China that were written down in historical record that the day turned as if it was night, and that very well could be a connection to what happened throughout the world at that time. So the world was shaken up. The veil was torn. And we talked about that yesterday, right? The veil being torn and what that signified. It signified that there is no longer a separation between man and God. And that was really what happened since the fall in the garden, right? There was a separation that was our sin. And that separation was reflected in the Old Testament worship, right? In Exodus, they were commanded to build this big, elaborate veil. And the veil was so thick that it was really hard to push through. And only the chief priest could push through. So I don't want to rehash all of yesterday. Go back and listen to that. But ultimately, the veil is torn, and that was signifying to the whole world that, hey, we have once again unhindered access to God. Now, I know sometimes that's hard for us to imagine because we go through struggles and we go through things, and sometimes we feel so separated from God. But how many of you know how we feel is not always accurate? How we feel is not where we should rest in our faith. As a matter of fact, faith is not what you feel. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So Jesus has since passed, and the world felt the impact of it physically. And soon enough, and we'll get to it when we get through the book of Acts, we'll see that the world was about to feel the impact of what Jesus did spiritually and is still feeling it to a great level today. And if we as Christians would be willing to continue to step up, then I will tell you this, the world will continue to feel it. And our world needs the gospel. I'm not going to go to the extent of saying needs the gospel more than ever before. I'm not going to embellish this. The world has never stopped and will never stop needing the gospel. Because every day there are people born. Every day, little kids, little babies are born, and they need to hear the gospel. So that's why it's so important for us to be teaching our little babies the gospel. So more little babies, when you and I are not even here, when we're in the glory, when we're at the table in heaven with Jesus, when we're all together there, that our lives can still have an impact on this earth. That's really what leaving a legacy is about. And so often, as we'll get into today, you don't even realize the impact that you make. Amen? So we're in Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 57, and we'll go through 61 today. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had become himself a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate ordered that it be given to him. So here we have a situation where Pilate is also now giving some concessions. Pilate doesn't have to do any of this, but Pilate does. And he's approached, maybe part of it is he's approached by a man of the stature of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph was a wealthy and influential member of the Sanhedrin who secretly followed Jesus. The Sanhedrin was the ruling council in Jerusalem. It was a council that was allowed by the Romans to stay, but it was all the influential, you know, Pharisees and the Sadducees that would come together and they would make big decisions. They would hold court. The president of this council was the chief priest. But Joseph of Arimathea was a very, very distinguished person. And we can see here that he was a secret follower of Jesus because he requests the body. And what is not detailed in the Gospel of Matthew is that Nicodemus is also with him on this. Nicodemus, also a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, and a ruler, so to speak, but extremely, extremely influential during that time, who also, as we know, followed Jesus at a distance. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus shows up when no one else is looking, and he asks Jesus the question, right? How can one be saved? How can one be? And Jesus says, "Very truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's where Nicodemus, he's confused, right? He says, "What do you mean, I have to crawl back in my mother's womb?" And Jesus says, "No, you silly Pharisee. You don't even get the things of this earth. How am I going to tell you the spiritual things? How do you not know what I'm saying here?" Right? But we take that conversation, and the chosen take some liberties, but is a pretty cool depiction of what it could have been like, you know, this very influential man really having his heart changed by Jesus. So we see Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus shows up with the spices, and they go to bury Jesus and do so according to Jewish custom, do so according to respect. And this hits on a little bit of what I started off with here. These two men were members of groups that were vehemently opposed to Jesus. But here, they followed Jesus at a distance. They watched him. They watched everything that he did, from the healings to his teachings of wisdom to him being challenged by even their own colleagues and having answers that just left them speechless. I love that about Jesus. I love everything about Jesus. But the fact that he had so much wisdom, that these men who were supposed to be the most learned in the society, they would try to challenge him. We've seen this over and over. And he would speak to them simply and just confound them. And Joseph and Nicodemus saw all of this. And yet they step up. And we see them stepping up here and there. We see Nicodemus anyway. In the Gospel of John, we see Nicodemus kind of stepping up during Jesus' illegal trial, kind of vouching for him to have a fair trial. But of course, it falls on deaf ears. But now it's time to step up. And I think the whole thing that I want us to take away from this is that throughout Jesus's earthly ministry, these men were in the shadows. They were quiet. But now it was time to step up, and they did. And I think there's a dual message here for all of us. The first is that we often don't realize the impact that we make because we determine our own worth. We determine our own effectiveness most often by the reaction of others. And that's where we can fall short. So you have to know that people are watching, whether you realize it or not. That people are being impacted, whether you realize it or not. These men had a lot to lose earthwise by stepping up. And they didn't up until this point, not to any great degree, but now it was time to step up. So I want to encourage you today that you may be discouraged sometimes in walking in your faith, feeling like you're not making an impact, but I want to encourage you that people are watching. And people are watching and they're being influenced by you. Now that's both, I believe, an encouragement and also a kick in the pants sometimes, because there's great responsibility with that. But I want us to take this example and realize that, hey, you're impacting people and generations that you don't even know. You just keep doing what you're doing. And people are watching, whether it's through your social media, whether it's, you know, just at a distance, whether they're in groups of people who don't particularly care for you or don't believe what you believe, and they're just not ready, they're just not bold enough to step up, you be bold. And I promise you, eventually they'll be bold. But maybe on the flip side as well, maybe you are in the position of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You are following Jesus at a distance. You're following Jesus from a safe distance, like all of his disciples did to some degree. But now it's time to step up. And the reason why I say it's time to step up is not because of some world event, not because of some imminent thing. Here's the imminent thing that we all realize. Every single one of us has but a short period of time on this earth. Make the most of it. Be willing to step up. And that's my prayer and my hope as we go through these studies every day, that the example of Jesus, the revealing of the true nature of God through who he is, will push you and me to be everything that we're called to be here on this earth with the time that we have, and that we would step up, and that the example of who we are will impact generations to follow. Let's continue reading. So they ask Pilate, and Pilate orders that the body be given to Joseph. It says, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb. Joseph takes his own tomb and allocates it for Jesus. And this is actually a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. It says, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. This is talking very much about Jesus' innocence, how he sinned not, yet they crucified him anyway. And the prophecy says he made his grave with the wicked. How does he make his grave with the wicked? Because he made his grave with you and I. And whether we like it or not, our righteousness is like filthy rags to God, but thank God that he does not judge us by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ. See, when Jesus paid that price, his righteousness took the place of our unrighteousness. And I wish more people would understand that. That it's not about our own righteousness. Now, you and I don't have a license to sin and go out and do whatever we want. That's not part of it. But he has made a way that we can't fall too far, that he won't pull us back up. And we honestly can't be too good where we don't need him. It says that he made his grave with the wicked, just like you and I. Jesus left this earth physically. And it says, with a rich man in his death. So it was prophesied that he would be in the tomb of a rich man, and this is where we see it here. And they took his body and wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in his tomb, and they cut out a rock and they rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. See, I love that Joseph and Nicodemus went through the process of a proper burial, which started with an anointing and a wrapping. Right after Jesus' death, Joseph of Arimathea, who was, again, a secret disciple, and along with Nicodemus, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices and strips of linen, the grave clothes. And so there's really three parts of this, and there had to be a prompt burial. The Gospels indicate that Jesus' burial occurred very quickly, but that's the way Jewish custom was. And especially this urgency is partly due to the approaching Sabbath. No burials were conducted on the Sabbath. But we have to realize that all the steps were taken. The preparation of the body that was called the tahara. That's a cleansing and purification of the body, where the body is gently washed and symbolic, representing purification before the deceased enters the next world. And after the washing, the body is anointed with spices. And the spiritual significance of that, too, is a way to honor the body which housed the soul. And really what we're seeing is a final act of kindness and respect. And then the body is then wrapped in the shroud. Simple linen. And that simple linen, the reason why they used it that way. Simple, right? They didn't dress up royally. It showed the equality that we all have in this temporary body. And that's what I just want us to reflect on as well, is that our life here is like a fleeting vapor, but we have an opportunity to have a great impact that goes beyond us. And I think that is portrayed in the lives of Joseph and the lives of Nicodemus, who step up in this case and honor Jesus. This is the first glimpse of even treating Jesus with a level of humanity after what he just went through. And here, two unlikely individuals step up, showing that the life of Jesus had an impact on people, even though they didn't show it right away. And again, I want you to be encouraged that if you would just pursue God, like it says, I always bring up Matthew 6:33, but so true. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to your life. You have the opportunity to make an impact on this world. And really, it's just being who you're called to be in Christ. By being kind, by being loving, by being somebody who's willing to push through when things get tough. And even though it looks like nobody's paying attention, first of all, you got to know that God sees every bit of it. But God's not going to let your perseverance be in vain. See, when you put your life in his hands, makes an impact. There's nothing that goes into the hands of God that does not impact this world in a way that's multiplied. So go out today and just realize that the things that you do, big and small, have an impact when you do it for Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to realize, even though we don't see it with our eyes or hear it with our ears, or even we don't feel it sometimes, that our life is meaningful because You are the author of our future and our faith. You are the author of all the good things. And Father, even when things are difficult, let that be for Your glory. Let it be an example to others so that they will be emboldened. Just declare that today. Say, Jesus, I am bold for You. Say, I will impact this world with my life for Your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. You're listening to the 1% Christian. 100 starts with 1. Go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. We're going to finish Matthew 27 tomorrow, continue forward, and I will see you then. I love you guys. Have a great day.